Numbers chapter 11. I will not read the chapter to begin with, but I probably will read much of it as we go through this. My text, of course, is Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 35. Most here this morning probably already know that. My title, I gave you that as well this past week. My title is this: When Christ is Left Out. But let me make it clear that I do not mean, nor am I talking about, those who leave Christ out unaware or through ignorance. Those who leave Christ out because they know nothing of Christ shall still perish without Christ.
Exactly.
That's right. It's just the way it is. But our subject for this morning is not about the ignorant.
Yeah.
Our chapter deals with men and women who were very well informed.
Yes, sir.
Think about it. These people had been in Egyptian bondage or under Egyptian bondage. All of them for all their life.
Yes, sir.
Because the bondage had went on for 400 years. And men at this time did not live as long as some men lived back in the early time of Genesis. And yet God delivered these people in a clear, unmistakable, irrefutable act of miracle.
Amen.
And all they'd been through from being in Egypt and being delivered and going out with a high hand. Remember, they didn't even leave a hoof behind. A hoof, not a foot. They didn't even leave the hoof of a beast behind.
Right.
And they go out of Egypt and they've been 2 years in this way now. Mason, they've stood at Sinai and they've seen the rumblings and the lightning and the thunder. They've seen God and what he would do when they would act in rebellion and idolatry against him when they were at the foot of that mountain.
Yes, sir.
So I'm not talking about some poor ignorant heathen out yonder somewhere. I'm talking to people this morning who are aware to some degree, at least in some technical and academic way, they are aware of the truth of the person and work of Christ. And when Christ is left out, trouble will ensue. Now lay a foundation, try to be brief here. In our text, we have types. I understand that. But don't look at Numbers the same way you look at Leviticus. Remember in Leviticus, there was what, two or three historical events recorded. And that's it. The rest of it is just the laws, the regulations. And it's all types and symbols. Now, it had a reality for those people back then. But when we get to Numbers, we're going to see types and symbols. That's true. I'm not denying that. But what we have in Numbers especially is types and symbols. That's Old Testament shadows or figures of Jesus Christ mixed with real events of faith and unbelief.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Don't fall in the same mistake I've made. I've been preaching before and made a statement along this line. Speaking of, say, King David. You know, all know King David. He was a type of the believer. Do you see the error of that? Now, we might say David is a type of Christ, but Joe, he ain't no type of the believer. He was a believer.
You're right. Yeah.
So all of this is not types and symbols. This is real life events here.
Yes, sir.
So I want to make that point. In other words, the manna, of course, was a type. Right?
Yes, sir.
The manna was a type. But to belittle the manna, look at verse 5 and 6 of chapter 11. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. That's a lie.
Yeah.
You're right. Isn't it? Yeah. They were slaves.
Yeah.
They were fed just enough to keep them alive so they could finish the building of the pyramids or whatever it was that the pharaohs were building.
Yeah.
We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. But yet there was a point to what they were saying.
Yeah.
Was it not? Jack, they had good food when they were there. But look, here's the real problem. We're all prone to exaggerate.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes when we intend on just trying to tell the truth, we still exaggerate. And you know what exaggeration, the other word for exaggeration is? L-I-E.
Yeah, you're right.
But look, here's the real problem. But now, our soul is dried away.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
There is nothing at all beside this manna. Do you see what they've just done? They've criticized God in a miracle.
Yeah.
Every morning when they woke up, it was there fresh.
Yes, sir.
Granted, it was only one thing, but it was there every morning fresh.
Amen.
And on the Sabbath, when they were not supposed to perform work, they were allowed to gather enough for 2 days so they didn't even have to work the seventh day.
That's right.
Right? And they said, oh, it got this manna. Two things is wrong with this. One, it was blatant rebellion against a miracle of God.
Yes, sir.
And it is indeed to knowingly leave Christ out.
Exactly.
Think of it. This was rank unbelief.
Yes.
Whoever did it.
That's it.
It's rank unbelief. We must call it what it is. Whether it's from us or them out there.
Yes, sir.
We've got to call it what it is.
Yeah.
In our text, we have elect souls. There's two mentioned here, Moses and Joshua. We know that from the preponderant testimony of Scripture. Mm-hmm. Moses and Joshua were two of God's people. We know that. But we also have those who have a serious question mark placed about them.
Yeah.
You know what I said? A serious question mark. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And this in turn brought Israel, the people, the full-blooded Jews, let me put it that way, right back into their complaint again.
Yes, sir.
Even after they've been interceded for by Moses.
That's right.
And God spared many of them.
Yeah.
In our text, we have these people as our example. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want you to listen to the words. This is what an inspired writer said, not me. This is not my opinion. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, and it's talking about these very people at this very time. It's talking about more than just that, but it's included these very people at this time. Verse 6, now these things were our examples.
Amen.
We ain't talking about the unbelievers out there in false religion.
That's right. That's exactly right.
We talking about us.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
We talking about us. Now these things were our examples. The inspired writer, Paul, includes himself.
Yes, sir.
In that. To the intent, we. Do you see it? We, not they out there. Now, they out there ought to listen to these things. But that's not the point here. That we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And I will sum it up this way. He that thinks he stands, take heed.
Yeah.
Lest he fall. Right. And then this, verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, run away from. You see it?
Yes.
Run away from idolatry.
Yes.
flee from idolatry. When anyone, them out yonder, sure, but us here especially, when anyone leaves Christ out, God is insulted.
Amen.
Trouble will come.
Yes, sir.
It will come. It must needs come. God being faithful to his covenant. Because when his sons and daughters rebel, he must, not by needs of necessity in himself, but because of his covenant, he must needs correct us.
Amen.
Correct? Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
If you're without correction, if you're a believer and you stray, God will correct you. Not just chasten in the sense of beat you, but chasten in the sense of correct you. And if he don't do that, you are illegitimate. You are a bastard. You're not a true son or daughter of God.
That's what it says.
Our text also is not about who gets to go to heaven and who's got to go to hell. I've mentioned this to you before, and like I said, I know we're all hungry. You've done set through two messages, and I know the body can only take so much. But I don't want to rush through this. It's too important. Our text is not about who gets to go to heaven, who gets to miss hell. That certainly is important. Don't get me wrong. Hell scares me. I was going to say to death, but that'd be a lie. It scares me. It makes, when I think about hell, sometimes it makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck. I see people I care about and God snatches them out of this world. And I see some that I think they didn't have anything. And I see another one that thank God they had some grace. But I, concerning them, still don't know for sure.
Right. That's it.
I'm not always absolutely sure about me, mm-hmm. let alone them and you.
Yep. Exactly.
And yet, I don't believe we have to wait till we get to the end to find out anything, Mason. At the same time, I know most religious people say, that's double talk. No, that's the reality of what we are by nature.
Exactly.
And what we are by grace.
Yeah.
It's not about just who gets to go to heaven, who gets to go to hell. Our text is about what happens when Christ is left out.
Yeah.
No matter who you are. But especially if you're a people that knows better. Yeah. Now, I will not go into it because I don't understand much about it. But our Lord actually said something along this line. It won't be a verbatim. That it'll be more tolerable in the day of judgment for some folks than for others. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I can't explain all. Basically, I don't know how to explain all that. You know, I don't. But I know it's true.
Amen.
And some men and women they're not informed. They're not even physically informed. They just don't know much of anything about God other than some superstitious heathenism at best. But there are others, they've been taught. Most, maybe not most here this morning, and many who probably hear me later, maybe even right now through live streaming, many of us have been under this since we were brought off the breast. Our responsibility, our accountability before God is far greater than others. When Christ is left out, you insult God. Do not presume that God owes you anything.
Amen.
And yet, I must say, God is gracious. God is gracious. Now, I have seven thoughts. And that, well, after I wrote it down, I thought, no, I'll leave it there. I'll go ahead and lie to you and then tell you I lied to you and tell you what it really is. It's just seven numbers here. There are many more thoughts than seven. Think about it. When we complain, and when the people complained, who? The people complained. the people are clearly distinguished from the mixed multitude.
Yes, sir.
Right? So here we even see the people complaining, it displeased the Lord. That's you and me.
Amen.
Not them out there.
Exactly.
And the Lord heard it. I thought about that when I... And the Lord heard it. God don't have to hear anything. He knows what our hearts are really like even before we do.
Amen.
When we complain, and we do. And almost all the time we try to justify it some way or another. Until finally the conscience eats you alive and you say, this is at the hand of God. I got to bow under it. Now, isn't that kind of the way it works?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just complaining about my health. Who gave you that? Good or bad?
Yes, sir.
God did.
Amen.
God did. Well, my job's so rough. Who gave you that?
Amen.
God did. Rough or pleasant? Whatever it is. When we complain, ever complain? Ever say it? They didn't have to say it for God to be aware of it. But when they said it, it was a public insult against God. I think a lot of things down in here, but thank God for the grace that says, Walter, keep your mouth shut. You understand what I'm, you know what I'm saying? Can you relate to that? And I've heard it even here. It wasn't used with this in light, but it was about if a man ever looks at a woman, if a man looks at a woman to lust after in his heart, he's already guilty. And it was actually said here, well, I might as well go ahead and do the real thing if I'm already guilty. No. Now, this was said to Earl. I was young. I was in the background. I kept my mouth shut. And Earl adequately answered the question. But both of us agreed to this young, and sadly it was a young individual. You got it all mixed up. You're using the truth of God to justify yourself.
Yeah.
One thing, if you do that physically, you've involved somebody else. And that's what happens here when we complain out loud.
Yes, sir.
Evil communications corrupts good manners.
Amen.
And when we're constantly bellyaching out loud, we're going to bring somebody else down with us.
You're right.
Are we not? Are we not? And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Think about it. Here is Israel laid out. The tabernacle's here now. It's set up now. And here they are laid out in their groups according to their standards. North, east, south, and west. And all of a sudden, and I take it that it's that fire that was with them. I don't say it specifically, but the fire of the Lord started to burn in the outer edges of the camp. People were dying. There was no doubt as to where this come from. Huh? And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Aren't you glad that somebody's interceding for you when you're belly aching against God? Huh?
That's it.
Yet, I thank God there is always, always for God's people, interceding mercy. I'll try to illustrate about what I'm about to give you. Ever had somebody say, well, are you a Calvinist? And then Paul Mahan had a piece about this in his bulletin. Are you a Calvinist? And you begin to back up and explain what you don't believe about what they might think Calvinism is.
Yeah.
You ever done that?
A little bit.
Apologizing. Right off the get-go. Are you a Calvinist? Yes. 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 Well, but you follow John Calvin. No, but I'm a Calvinist. And I believe John Calvin was my brother. When are we going to quit trying to apologize and just say yes? I was asked if I was a Calvinist way back before I even really knew what a Calvinist was. And then I knew enough to say, yeah, I am one. And he says, God said that. Said, well, you'll never preach for me again. Well, okay, so be it. I don't know what I just got kicked out for, but I kicked out for being a Calvinist. Now, have you ever had somebody say, well, if I believe like you did, I just go out and sin all I want. And then we try to start philosophically giving check marks. You ever done that? Let me read you something. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to it. When I start reading it, I'm sure you will be aware of it. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, is that God's word or not? Now, I don't care. You ought not misunderstand this, but even if you do misunderstand this, thank God there's forgiveness of sin and sins. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you. And this is it. Four words is the only way John explains it. That ye sin not.
Amen.
It's always that ye sin not. And if any man sin, amen, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen.
You see, if God's love was on you in eternity, God's love's on you now.
Amen.
Even when we bellyache and cry.
Amen.
But don't think that means everything's going to be as we call honky-dory.
Right.
In the camp. Now, is it? Is it? Ever been influenced by the mixed multitude? Wait a minute. Ever been the mixed multitude? Ever been the mixed multitude? Ain't it so easy to do this?
Yeah. You're right.
It's easy to do that. Right here's my problem. I am the mixed multitude.
Yeah, that's it.
Mason, even after God saved me. No. Especially after God saved me, I'm the mixed multitude. I used to be nothing but natural man.
There you go.
Now, I'm a spiritual man. If I've been born of God. But at the same time, God still left the old natural me there.
Yes, sir.
All of God's truly born from above ones are truly the mixed multitude. And we are our own worst enemies.
That's right.
Think about it. Unbelief demands variety. I've already read it, didn't I? Faith is given singularity.
Yes, sir.
The fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. That's variety. God says to faith, here's one object that you glory in.
Yes, sir.
That's the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One food, one bread. Does it? Now listen to me. I'm going to try to say it honestly. Don't it get sometimes a little stale, though? Don't it seem like it's a little stale? The problem ain't, though, with the bread. The problem's because of this in here.
Exactly.
Because we're remembering the fish and onions and leeks and garlic. And they're good, ain't they?
Yeah.
They're good, ain't they? I think you get the picture, don't you? Number two. I still got several more to go. Got to move. Ever been overwhelmed? I'm not going to read it. Time's going. Chapter 11, verse 10 through 15. Moses became overwhelmed.
Yes, sir.
Did he not? There's no need for me. This, in a small group in the past 10 years, a little bit longer, we've really been overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I'll say it. We have seen God pick us off one at a time. We've seen our physical numbers dwindle one at a time.
Yep.
Now, others have just left. And, you know, some for decent reasons, others for not. But you ever been overwhelmed?
Yeah.
Moses was he not? But I want you to go back and look at it and read those verses again. If not, you must needs, if you don't remember. That gospel conversion forces self-judgment. Even when we want to throw the towel in. Moses is saying, God, I can't do this. I'm paraphrasing, right? I can't do this. But look at what he says. Verse 15. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand.
Yeah, that's what he said.
You see it? You ever been there? God, just get this over with. All right? But look, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Moses knew the people ain't really my problem. Do you see that? Moses knew I'm really my worst enemy. Because Moses knew down in here, he was just like they are. Just like they are. Again, I say gospel conversion forces self-judgment. Even when we would throw the towel in. Folks, that's grace. That's grace. Consider this. Even when I do at times leave Christ out, and we do sometimes. Now, don't we? We leave Christ out. Isn't it amazing how God will not let you get away from this? I hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. You see, I know there are people who think, well, good people go to church. If you go to church, you're supposed to be a good people. No, the only people that truly go to church are bad people.
Amen.
Sinners. Amen. Men and women who know that they are total corruption from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And they come to hear of a Savior who saves such as that. Now, I know that's not what everybody's hearing, but that ain't church.
That's right.
That's idolatry.
Yeah, you're right.
That's man-centered religion. Yeah. Ever been overwhelmed? Sure we are, and we will be more. Until God pulls our ticket, Mason, there will be times we're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Number three. We're never alone.
Yeah.
Verses 16 and 17. The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men. And what's God do? Gives them the same spirit that was in Moses.
Yes,
do you see that? Do you remember, who was it? I don't forget now. It's recorded by Paul. Let me find my spot, Romans chapter. Lord, they've digged down thine altars. Israel's done gone completely to pot.
Yeah.
And they had.
Yeah.
And the prophet said, Lord, they've digged down your altar. I'm alone. God said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
Because see, after all, it's about God's glory, not our comfort. I try to think of what it was like for some of our brothers and sisters that God just snatched right out of here.
Yeah.
And for them to awaken his likeness and to see Jesus Christ in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
I can't imagine it, Jack. Mason, I got to tell you, sometimes it feels like a pipe dream. But I know this word is true. My flesh would say, whistle while you're going through the cemetery. Huh? So the ghosts don't get you. But the Spirit of God in me says, believe God, Walter Pendleton.
Yes.
Take God at his word, even when you complain, even when you're overwhelmed, even when you think you're alone. Number four, when Christ is left out, God may give us the alternative. We want flesh to eat. Right? I got to read this one to you. We want flesh to eat. Look at chapter 11, verse 18. And say unto the people, still God talking to Moses, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you will eat. Sometimes God will give you what you want. And we use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. He'll let you go for a while. And he'll let you have that flesh. And you know, look at here's what happens. Verse 33, sum it all up. And while the flesh is yet in our teeth, air is being chewed while we're sitting there enjoying it up a storm.
Yeah.
Man, this quail's good,
yeah.
Right? The wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Somebody said, God don't do that to the people. God does do that to the people.
Yeah.
Never think that grace puts us up on the pedestal. Grace puts us in Christ, and He is on the pedestal.
Amen.
And when we knowingly rebel against God, trouble must come.
Yes, sir.
Now, I must say this. Just because trouble has come doesn't mean you've rebelled against God. But when you rebel against God, trouble will come.
Yes.
And it won't be pleasant. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says it won't be joyous. But afterward, what's it do? It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And to those that God lays a hold of and corrects, to those that are exercised thereby.
Yeah.
Number five, when Christ is left out, we're all prone to underestimate God. God said, you're going to give them flesh. Well, what are you going to do? Kill all the cows? Kill all the sheep? Kill all the goats?
Yeah.
Right? You remember it?
Oh, yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Those are for who?
Yeah.
Who are those animals for? Uh-huh. Those are for God. Those are His sacrifices that they will be offering.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? Now, what's God do? Causes a strong wind to come in, blows quail. Look at how many there were.
Yes, sir.
Quail was laying on the ground. Mason, I don't... way yay deep. A day's journey that way and a day's journey that way. Quail!
Yep.
And then it just starts to rot in your teeth as you chew on it. See, here's the problem. If it don't rot in your teeth, then you don't really know God. I go back to what I said before. Every son that God receives, God chastens.
Amen.
If you're without chastisement, you are a bastard and not a son. It is not God's people don't sin. It's when God's people sins, God makes us completely aware of it. If God brings you trouble and it's over a specific thing, He's going to let you know what that was for.
You're right.
He don't beat us like some people would just beat a dog.
Yeah.
We are His sons and daughters. He teaches us why the correction has come. Number six. God will have His glory.
Amen.
God, and all that God, God comes down in a cloud. It says, Moses, pick 70 guys. But think about it. Think about it. Two of them stayed in the camp. Who was it? Eldad and Medad. And it don't even matter what, their name means something. But you know what? Think of it. They were left in the camp, and Joshua says, wait a minute. This can't be.
Yeah.
You ever done that? Well, so-and-so is way over yonder. Not quite with us. Not exactly like we are, where we are, as we are. Isn't that what Joshua was basically saying? But what did Moses do? Well, if they won't come to us, what's it? We'll go to them. You see it? In verse 28, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, this is Joshua, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. It's Eldad and Medad. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them, and Moses get him up into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. If a man will have friends, he must find himself what? Friendly. Don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them. Now, if you're going to them, doesn't turn out the way you'd hope, then Mason, so be it. Again, I've mentioned this before, but was Eldad, Medad really saved? Was Moses really saved? Was Joshua, with all those people that were, the edges were burned? Were they saved? I've told you why we want to know that. So we know, can I go as far as they did and still be okay? That's why we want to know that. If God would show me my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, it would probably ruin me, Mason. Do you know that?
Exactly right.
It would ruin me, Jack. Because we walk by what right now?
Faith.
Faith. And faith takes this word as it is, in spite of what I see down in here, as it is. God will have His glory. True faith gathers one way or another, don't it? Somebody says, well, people, even here in this area, people that are aware of this place, people who've been here and left, whatever, and they believe the doctrines of grace. Are they really saved? I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know. But I can tell you this. If they're not here, and they could be here, if their conscience is not eating them alive, they got a real problem.
Amen.
They got a real problem.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you, one of God's... Somebody say, how long does that last, that chastity? I don't know. But the Lord knows them that are His, don't He?
Amen.
And you know what I'm supposed to say? Well, if you're one of the elect, you're okay. No. And here's what I'm supposed to say. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
There you go.
Isn't that how the book puts it?
Yeah.
Number 7. When Christ is left out, rest assured, death is coming.
Yes, sir.
Verse 34. And He called the name of the place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And I'm going to put it this way. Saved or lost.
There you go.
Regenerate or unregenerate. Converted or not converted. Because the question is not, well, do I get to go to heaven? You know, isn't it amazing? Everybody wants to go to heaven and miss hell. But when somebody dies, everybody's so sad, especially if that person was a believer. Well, I'm just so sad for them. Why? We say we want to go to heaven and miss hell so bad, but when somebody dies and is going one or the other, we're just all tore up about it, and we don't want to go. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
People that make professions to believe God, if God would kill me right now, rejoice for me.
Amen.
That's true.
Be sad for yourselves that He left you here.
Exactly.
But if He takes me now, I'm done with this. But Mason, at the same time, I'm not trying to kill myself either.
You're right.
Death will come. And yet, God's grace is never absent. Verse 35, and the people journeyed.
Amen.
From Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. God could have killed them all.
Yes, sir.
Right there. Even Moses was not without his faults. Was he not? And as we go through this, we're going to see that continue on. Paul, Moses struck that rock the second time.
Yes, he did.
Did he not?
Yes, he did.
He didn't get to go into the land. Now we say, well, that wasn't too bad. He got to go to glory. That's true. But you know Moses' heart was set on that land. Mason, for the first time, God revealed it to him.
Yes, sir.
Did you know that? Anyone who knows even an inkling about God, have you figured God out yet? Huh?
Exactly.
Oh, I know, so-called Christian, especially free will, works-oriented, man-centered religion, they got everything, Roman numeral point one, point two, and all the sub-points, they got it all down for you. Let me read you something about God, and we'll close with that, and I'll have Mason, Lord willing, give thanks for the food. And if you want to read along, you're welcome. Romans chapter 11, verse 28. And I'm going to take time for the context. Time's going. Verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they, that is Israel, even rebellious Israel, Mason, rebellious Israel. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes.
Yes.
But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes.
Amen.
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That is, God don't change His mind about this.
That's right.
For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their what? Oh, if we just had more missionaries. God used some unbelievers to bless some folk, did not?
Right.
Is that what that says or not?
For as
ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. In my mind, just my eyes, I'm boggled at that. And look at how he puts it. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord?
Yeah.
And who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all, and even the context, the immediate context is unbelief and belief.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
Mercy and compassion.
Amen.
Hardening. Right? It's all in the context here of what he's talking about. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And the Spirit, Paul, as Earl, you say, Paul just couldn't stand it no more. He said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Mason, would you give thanks for the food?
O holy, righteous, eternal God, gracious and merciful, loving and kind, just and holy. It is thee, Heavenly Father, that we call upon to thank you. Thank you, God, for being who you are. Thank you for letting sinners gather together.
Yes.
To praise thy holy name. For we say these words and we think these thoughts to the honor and glory of thy holy name through thy Son, Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray.
Amen. Let me give you one thing. You cut that off? Let me give you one thing. I missed it here. I had this for you. This is by Thomas Brooks. He lived 1608 to 1680, nonconformist in England amongst the Puritans. He wrote these words. As soon as I read this, God willing, we'll eat. All our murmurings, which are so many arrows shot at God himself, will return upon our own heads. They reach not him, but they will hit us. They hurt not him, but they will wound us. It is better to be mute than to murmur. It is dangerous to provoke a consuming fire. I thought that was pretty good. Let's eat.